Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, October 14th, 2013. How's it going? How are you? Is everything okay in your neck of the woods? I know what you're thinking right off the bat. Jesus, Bill, this podcast is even later than it usually is. Well, I would counter, okay? I would counter that verbal assault by saying, well, didn't you have the fucking day off today? Well, did you? Well, great, because I did too. I don't know why. Oh, it's Columbus Day, right? Columbus Day, it's Columbus Day. He came over here, there was already people. He cut off their fucking hands because they couldn't find gold. And we celebrate him because he was kind of white, even though I think he was from Spain. And if he came to Boston and tried to get a job, he'd be really fucked with most of the people he'd interview with. Today it's Columbus Day. Christopher Columbus. Sorry, I went to the Bruins today. I had a couple of beers, all right? So deal with me. Christopher fucking... Hey, Chrissy, get on the fucking boat and do the job we paid you for. Christopher Columbus, all right? Discovered America for all you people who have never picked up a history book. He sailed in 1492. He sailed the ocean blue. He thought he was going to the West Indies. This is like there once was a man from Nantucket. There once was a man from Spain who had in his balls a pain. He couldn't get laid. He tried every day, so he said, fuck it, I'm going to sail so I have something to talk about. I don't know, guys. This is funny to me, and I'm buzzing pretty fucking good, and I really don't give a shit. I do give a shit. I care. I care about you. And how did you enjoy Columbus Day? What did you do? Did you put on like a fucking George Washington wig and stand on the neck of the tannest person that you know in celebration of all the great things he did? I've always had difficulty once I got past a certain age with the fact that that guy, they said he discovered it for Europe. He didn't discover it. There was already people here. You know what I mean? Just sitting here, living off the land, you know, little mud flap over their junk, using up every bit of the animal. They did nothing wrong. That's the overcorrection of Native Americans, where they've now become like these godlike people, where none of them were bad, you know? None of them would have fucked you out of your 401k money had they understood what a 401k was and could tie a tie. You know what I mean? I mean, people are people. Let's get down to brass tacks here, people. All right? Just because you're sitting there flossing with a fucking bison tendon doesn't mean that, you know, if you had a car, you wouldn't get a little grabby on the first date. All right? Okay, and if you can't do the math on that, then I can't help you. Yeah, it's Christopher Columbus Day. Amerigo Vespucci. Remember all that fucking awful history stuff? You're sitting there with half a fucking erection looking at some chick next to you and there's some guy in a goddamn tweed coat talking about Vinnie Del Negro. What was the other... what was the other guy? The other world explorer. It was Amerigo Vespucci. It was Christopher Columbus. And then there was a guy who had like a Vinnie Del Negro name. But it wasn't Vinnie Del Negro. But now that's in my head, so I'll never be able to think of what the fuck was it. Was it Marcus de Lafayette? Was that him? He wasn't the traitor in the Revolutionary War. That was Benedict Arnold. Marcus de Lafayette. Did he start Marquette University? He did something. He wasn't with Lewis and Clark. I don't fucking know. You know what's funny? It's just all the shit that was done to create this country, and they kind of boil it down to like 14 people. These guys sailed up a river. This guy found it. This guy said, I can't tell a lie. And the other guy said, hey, why don't you lay off the black people for a minute? You know, and that's pretty much the first 200 years of history in this country, as far as I can tell. You know, and for all you Europeans listening and all you Australians, that doesn't mean your country's better. All right. So fuck you and your fish and chips and your Vegemite sandwiches, because nobody gives a shit. All right. You're just as filthy as we are, which brings me to a wonderful fucking conversation that I had with Paul Verzi. Paul Verzi, right? So neither one of us has watched baseball in a while. I stopped in 2010 when Poppy tested for some substance, and they never said what it was. And at that point, pretty much everybody from the 04 series, like five guys on both teams, had tested positive or whatever. So it was kind of fair, I guess. Our roided-up guys beat your roided-up guys. But it was just getting annoying. And I'm not saying Poppy was doing any shit. But that was just one of those things where I was like, listen, I've watched enough fucking train wrecks. I don't want to watch this one. Either get it out of the game or do what you know you're going to do in the long haul, which is you're going to make the shit legal. All right? I love how a football player who is running around tackling people at the NFL level, which is basically like getting into a fucking car accident, you know, not a major one, but a pretty significant one. You got to exchange, you know, insurance cards like every other fucking play. He can't do roids, but if fucking some singer can't get on stage and be like, they can't fucking do that, then it's okay for them to give roids, to get some roids right in their old fucking voice box. Look up at the ceiling there, fucking Vladimir, whatever the fuck your name is, fatty with the beard. What is that guy's name? He was the guy. He was part of the three tenors, you know? He looked like Franco Harris if he was white. What the fuck is that guy's name? And he was bald. Jesus Christ. It's like anybody knows, like, you all, everybody knows one opera singer, and this is the guy, right? Whatever, that fucking guy. I don't even know how I got onto that shit. The fuck was I talking? I was talking about Verzi. All right? So me and Verzi have not watched. Oh, I was talking about steroids. Before I was talking about Verzi. Steroids. Yeah. That fucking synergenic shit that you watch late at night where they show some old guy with his gut hanging out. Right? He's got a tattoo of Rosie the Riveter right above where his fucking spleen used to be. And he's just done. He's got creases in his torso that it doesn't even make sense. It's not even like fat creases. It means like organs have been removed. And there's a space there now that can only be filled up with the flesh on the outside of your torso. What are those kinds of creases? Okay? And then by the end of the commercial, that guy's standing there looking like fucking Gronkowski. And he's hanging out with some fucking 35-year-old chick who wasn't raised right. Clearly her dad took off. So now she has the big, strong father figure that she always wanted. And I'm sitting there going, well, Jesus Christ, I thought P90X was impressive. That was getting people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s in shape. What the fuck is this shit? And I went on the internet. The old interweb, as they call it on my favorite fucking show on TV, Fast and Loud. I went on the interweb, and I looked it up to see what the shit was. And it's HGH. That's what they're doing. And they're sitting there going like, with our system, as far as my research goes, before I get in trouble here, as far as my research, according to my research, which was basically, I looked up Synagenix scam ? And the first thing came up was what they were giving these people human growth hormone. Well, obviously, human growth hormone. And then you give them a fucking handful of Viagra. They go out and they hit the clubs. Right? Go over to the fucking jukebox. They put on a little fucking Glenn Miller. Glenn Miller! Little Moonlight Serenade. And next thing you know, some fucking broad from this generation with their glow sticks and too many tattoos and her giant fucking earlobes that you could stick a pool cue through. Right? Next thing you know, she's dropped to her fucking dubstep knees. And she's blowing a veteran of the Korean War. That's how it goes down. Okay? And that right there, people, is the upside of steroids. You know? Look at all these fucking ladies when you're watching the Real Housewives. Those aren't Real Housewives. Those are a higher breed of housewife. Okay? I'm just loving all the women right now. Just, oh my God, how could you say that? I'll tell you why. Because this is the deal. They had children, and they're still, despite the limits of modern day science, is they're still trying to look like a hot piece of ass. Now, they're not doing it, but I'm telling you right now, just like that guy that you love that goes into the corner, right? That guy, that little fucking return punch, the fucking wedge breaker, the guy who's all fucking heart. That's the female version of the wedge breaker right there. It's those broads on the fucking Real Housewives. looking fuckable into your 50s. God bless you. Making people do double takes like, is that 20? Oh, wait a minute. No, she's 55. Gross. But there is that moment. You know what I mean? You got to give it up to them. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm a couple of loggers in. I went to the Bruins game today. I had no fucking intentions of going. Wait, stay on target. I'll get to the Bruins game in a fucking second. So Verzi last night, you know, I'm the biggest. You couldn't be more of a bandwagon Red Sox fan this year unless you started after game three of the Tampa Bay series. The first two games, Red Sox games, I watched this year was game one and game two of the Tampa Bay playoffs. And then I missed the rest of the series. I travel. You know what I mean? I'm into Lego collectibles. I have a schedule. is there such a thing? Anyways, and I've watched the first two games of this Tiger series, and it is an instant fucking classic. If you guys are like me and you went away from the game for a couple of years, this is a great one to come back to. The first one was an absolute gem. 1-0 game. It was one of those deals where the Tigers won 1-0 and I felt like we lost like 8-0. I mean, they were just fucking mowing us down. All right? Huge loss. Huge loss. So now they got the fucking upper hand in the city. So now, in the series. Why do I keep saying city? I don't know. Probably because you were drinking Bud Hard. Now I'm like, they automatically have the upper hand in the series right now. We have to win game two. Look what the fuck they did. So then they got this other psycho. I don't know anybody's names. And I got, other than Cabrera, because he won the Triple Crown. And I got to tell you something right now. The athletic gifts that man was given, that he can be in the fucking horrific shape that he's in and still win the Triple Crown. He is in Joe DeRosa shape. Okay? When I look at Joe DeRosa, when I bite into a York peppermint patty, when I look at Joe DeRosa, I look at a man who has never done a push-up in his life other than after he's been drunk and he fell down and did a face plant. And even then, it's a girl push-up, right? With his fucking corduroy knees in the grass. And if he's on a fucking hill that favors him, if he's facing up the hill, he can actually get his horrific fucking example of a torso up off of that grass. Why am I trashing Joe? He's not here to defend himself. Ah, Jesus, Joe. Did somebody fucking send this to you because they're miserable? Yeah, that Cabrera guy. Jesus, what a fucking awful, horrible. He looks like he should be selling like concessions. And he's eating them too. He's just got a puffy face. He's got a flabby neck. And it's like he's not fat. He's not in shape. He's just sort of he runs around. But when he's done, he's eating like a fucking bowl of mint chocolate chip. You know what it reminds me of? Like Warren Sapp. Whenever I used to watch Warren Sapp play, I just used to remember like, what would happen if this guy actually fucking worked out? What if he actually worked out? Warren Sapp was in worse shape than most of the people in the stands that were watching him, just, you know, to look at him. I thought, towards the end of his career, one of these years, he's going to say, fuck it. And he's going to come in with a flat stomach and he's going to reach like Reggie White level defensive end. And he never did it. He never did it. So anyway, so Verzi, I text him, I'm in Boston, right? And I'm watching the fucking Red Sox game. And he puts him on. And you have to understand Red Sox-Yankee hatred. Is Paul hasn't even watched the game in, I don't know, a couple of years, right? The second, I don't think he was watching the game for more than 3 seconds, and he just starts sending me tweet after fucking tweet about how awful the fucking Red Sox beards are. He was beside himself. He thought it was a disgrace to the game. The reality is he hates the fucking Reds. I mean, I don't like their beards either, but like, let's see here. Let me read some of this shit. Where the fuck is it? Ah, shit. Load earlier messages. Dude, we were texting so much during the game, I had to go all the way. You don't have the success to take the slot. What the fuck is this? Where the hell is it? Let me get to the top up here. I'm sorry, guys. I'm the worst. Oh, this is me talking about Paul and the mob. You get whacked for running your mouth. Who the fuck is it even going to be worth it at this point? Jesus Christ, Bill. Load earlier messages. Here we go. All right, where the fuck am I? Okay, this is what Verzi writes. He says, I just turned it on because I said, Poppy Grand Slam tie game. Oh, by the way, not a bunch of Tiger fans, but about a half dozen of them were just trashing me. Just saying the series over. Better luck next year. Red sucks. When they were up 5-0 in game two, about, you know, 7 innings in. And all I just kept thinking in my head is like, dude, have you ever watched a baseball game before? It's not like they're running out of time. As long as there's no outs, it goes on forever. It's like that George Carlin bit. There's plenty of fucking time. So anyways, long story short, they fucking load him up and Poppy hits a grand slam to tie the game. So I write, Poppy, grand slam, tie game. Verzi writes, I just turned it on, ! And I was thinking like, wow, he's going to be like, all right, awesome game. Immediately, his first sentence, dude, the Sox beards are so fucking stupid. The whole anti-Yankee facial hair is so douchey. They look ridiculous. Grow up, babies. LOL. And then we just start going back and forth. He said, you guys look like lumberjack morons. You're baseball players, the worst. And I just keep going like, oh, you know, where did Derek Jeter watch the game tonight? And, of course, he's like, on fucking Miss Universe's pussy. I'm like, isn't he like 38 at this point? It's starting to get creepy, isn't it? He really is like some zillionaire guy still going to fucking Hooters. That's just jealousy on my part. Anyway, so we just start fucking giving each other shit. What the fuck was my point to this? Dude, half your team looks like they're in a fucking Halloween costume. It's embarrassing. And then I wrote back, not as embarrassing as missing the playoffs. What would you do if a comedy club had a no facial hair policy? He writes back, touche, but we don't look like assholes. I'd be still working stand-up. I don't know what the fuck this is. I can't get into this because I started saying what comedians would play for the Yankees versus the one for the Red Sox. Just to give you a hint, the Red Sox had Sam Kinison and all the badass ones. And the Yankees had all the fucking clean cut. I don't know. You know the deal. I don't know. I know the podcast just went off the fucking rails. Give me a break, okay? I went with a head of steam. Okay, what are you going to do? But I got to tell you something. That whole Yankee fucking thing about no facial hair, I'm old enough to remember in the 70s when they all looked like they were going to go shoot a fucking porno. And then out of nowhere, they started taking on this fucking holier-than-thou, like, Notre Dame horseshit. You know? We're clean-shaven. And Verzi's going, yeah, they look like gentlemen. It's like, Paul, they're a bunch of roided-up cunts just like everybody else. Just because they look like they're going to deliver a fucking newspaper to you, all of a sudden that makes them better? Give me a fucking break. I like that the Red Sox look like the Moondogs. You know, for you old fucking wrestling fans. I don't give a shit. Just as long as they win. It's going to be a great series. I think it's going 7. And I'm actually a big fan of the Tigers and that type of stuff. I had family that grew up in Michigan, so I like the Tigers. I got no beef with those guys. But what the fuck was I going to bring up here? Is it time to read a fucking... Yeah, it is. It's time to do a little... Jesus, yeah. What the fuck is it? Okay, here we go. Dollar Shave Club, everybody. You know, there's so many things in this world that irritate me. Paul Verzi's misguided anger about the Red Sox beards, when he should just really say, I'm really sad that my team isn't in the playoffs and you guys have a really good shot at winning the World Series. But instead, he turns into like Joan Rivers, like he's on the red carpet, you know? Dustin Pedroia, what are you wearing? When so many things can irritate you, why add razors to the list? It's time to stop milking your razor blade. Come on, we've all done it. You know the deal. You know, with the brand name razors, they're like $1 zillion. You pay outrageous prices. So you sit there and you try to squeeze the life out of these razors until they start feeling like a rusty soda can dragging across your face. All right? Well, guess what? It's time to move on. Dollar Shave Club delivers amazing quality blades right to your goddamn door for just a few bucks a month. My listeners have been taking advantage of this ad like no other ad, and I have not gotten one complaint. But now that I've said that, I will get my first complaint, but I will guarantee you there will be no more. This out of all of them, has been an absolute home run. All right? You never have to think about getting razor blades again. They send a pack every month, so you can change your blades once a week. I love these guys, and you're going to love them too. They've also has a new product called a One Wipe. Charlie! It's a butt wipe for men, and it's classy. Check out the video for that and sign up for your razors today. Go to the dollarshaveclub.com/burr. That's dollarshaveclub.com/burr. Or go to billburr.com and click the Dollar Shave Club banner today. And as always, Hulu Plus, everybody. This is a whole new way to watch television, all right? Where you, my friend, are the head of the network. You decide when and where and what. All right, well, here's the deal. You've probably tried Hulu.com. Well, now it's time to try Hulu Plus. You can watch your favorite shows anytime, anywhere. Hulu Plus lets you watch thousands of hit TV shows and a selection of acclaimed movies on your television or on the go with your smartphone or tablet. And it all streams in HD for the best viewing experience. You can't beat this. With Hulu Plus, you can watch your favorite current TV shows like Saturday Night Live, Community, Family Guy, South Park, Breaking Bad, whatever the hell you want to watch. You can also check out exclusive content, including Hulu Originals. They have original series like The Awesomes, starring SNL's Seth Meyers, and Moon Boy, starring Chris O'Dowd from Bridesmaid. Hulu Plus also offers a great selection of acclaimed films. For only $7.99 a month, you can stream as many TV shows and movies as you want, whenever you want. You're out of your mind if you don't do this. Right now, you can try Hulu Plus for free for 2 weeks when you go to HuluPlus.com/bill. That's a special offer for my listeners. Make sure you use HuluPlus.com/bill so you get the extended free trial and they know that we sent you. Go to HuluPlus.com/bill. Now, or click the Hulu Plus banner on the podcast page at billburr.com. All righty. Back to the podcast here. Oh, you know what's fucking hilarious to me? I got to do a Paul Verzey here and say, dude, I called it. Because I did call it. All right? Where the hell's my fucking goddamn... I'm the worst. I am the absolute worst. There it is. Weeks ago when I first started making fun of Seattle, the Seattle Seahawks going for the loudest record, just to give you a recap, I basically said, well, hey, when you haven't won a championship, you have to hang your hat on something. And if you get this record, are you going to start singing, we are the loudest, my friends, and we'll keep on screaming until we lose, that bullshit. And I said, you can go back, it's documented on my podcast, I said that Seattle Seahawks fans were not that loud, that it was the building. I'm not saying that they're not good fans, but they're not as fucking loud as everyone's making them out to be. You go to the game and it's so fucking loud, you're looking around and you're looking at people while they're cheering and you're like, that face does not add up to this loud. Are they piping noise in? And it turns out their owner had built a stadium specifically designed to contain the noise. So it's like a crowd on fucking HGH. They're a bunch of cheaters. They're the Jason Giambis of crowds. And from day fucking one, when I broke their balls about it, I said, I went to a Kansas City Chiefs game. And those fuckers were louder than the ones in Seattle. And they, this weekend, broke the record for the loudest crowd, which is the dumbest fucking record ever. The loudest crowd. And they did it in a stadium that was built when we still thought the Vietnam War was winnable. All right? So it's not even like they just beat Seattle. They destroyed them. Okay? So now I have a new song for the Seattle Seahawks fans out of respect for them and their 1 week of holding the title. They held the title for 1 week, kind of like when the heavyweight champion gets arrested or refuses to go to war and they just strip him of his title and they give it to some fucking palooka and he has it for 1 week until he gets knocked out. That's what happened to them. So here's their new song. All right. We were the loudest for 1 week. Doo, 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 doo. And then a bunch of redcoats in Kansas City, boo, 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 screamed a little louder. Hey, you know what's funny? I don't have a fucking song for it. You know what's fucking hilarious? Is Kansas City at least has won a Super Bowl, everybody. When did they do it? Come on, they were still in the AFL. Boo, 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 boo. Super Bowl IV, Lenny Dawson. 63 toss power trap, whatever the fuck it was. Hank Stram with that rolled up thing and the fucking hairpiece walking up and down chewing his gum. That was when the Vikings, the original Buffalo Bills, lost their first of soon to be four Super Bowls. Inexplicably. They had Fran Tarkenton. They had the Purple People Eaters. They had Paul Krause. They had fucking Chuck Foreman. They had Freddie Cox kicking the goddamn ball and nothing happened. Hey, you know, I mentioned earlier that, so Seattle, I'm just breaking your fucking balls, all right? So, you know, don't cry in the rain and blow your fucking brains out like that guy did, okay? And then his stripper wife read his fucking suicide note to anyone who would want to listen, which was arguably the greatest example of stealing someone else's thunder I've ever seen. You know, how do you blow your own head off and not get top billing? I mean, it's just fucking insane. I'll tell you how. Somebody comes in and reads your suicide note and is emoting about how devastated they are. You know, it's like it wasn't your day, lady. All right? It was what's left of that guy up there in the fucking attic. All right. That seemed really insensitive, but I am a fan of all of the people mentioned. Listen, sometimes I hurt feelings on this podcast, but what I'm going for is I'm trying to streamline what it is that I say. And sometimes I don't have time for names, and sometimes I don't have time for feelings. Okay? But that doesn't mean that I'm not a fan of wherever it is you do. Okay? And if you can't do the math on that, then I really can't help you. I mentioned earlier that I am a big fan of Fast and Loud. That's like my favorite fucking TV show now that Breaking Bad is over. I absolutely fucking love that show. I love cars. I love watching people that know how to fix them up. But the funniest fucking thing ever is watching the dude, Richard Rawlings, watching him bust these people down on cars is the funniest fucking shit. I mean, dude, he beats the shit out of them. I don't remember laughing as much as I laugh when I watch that show. He fucking destroys them. He'll go out there, right? And it's always the same shit. Somebody's got a Thunderbird. They got a Corvette. They got some Mopar thing or whatever. And he comes walking out. And he's always complimentary of the car when he wants it. So he gets people excited like they're going to make a sale. They just don't realize how much lower it's going to be. So he always comes in. And he goes, wow, man, look at this. Huh? It's a 68. Yeah, wow. Sits right, body straight, everything's cool, blah, 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 blah. And then he always looks at him, he just goes, what were you thinking? And then the owner's always like, I mean, I don't know, I was thinking like 30. And then Richard, I don't give a fuck what they say. He always just goes like, oh, man, I can't do 30. I can't. I mean, come on, I drove all the way out here. I got to tow it back. I can't do 30, right? So then the person who owns the car always says the same shit. Well, come my way a little bit. What were you thinking? And he has his hands in his pocket, and he acts like he's thinking about it, which you know he isn't. He knew what the fuck he was offering the second he walked into the barn, and he'll say like, I was thinking like 12. Dude, they go from 30. He takes them down to 12. So these guys are like, oh, man, I can't do 12. Come on, man, I can't do that. And then they always come down quick, and they go, how about like 24? Can you do 24? And then he comes back like, man, I could do like 13. And he's just inching up and then dropping like a fucking elevator that got its cables cut. My favorite one I ever saw was he went in and bought like this 62 Corvette off these people, right? And he was sitting in this fucking damp warehouse, spooky looking fucking saw kind of place. And they buy the fucking thing. The guy wanted 30 grand for it, and he busted him down to 18.5. So he brings the fucking thing back. I mean, it's a Corvette, so you can't see any rust because it's a fiberglass body. But when they look underneath it, it's just rusted out to the point of like, dude, what? Why did we pick this car up? But as luck would have it, the guy who sold him the car, it was actually his grandfather's car. And there was people, part of his family tree, that were like, you shouldn't have sold that car. That car was supposed to be for us. So they go down to the Gas Monkey garage to buy this fucking car back. All right. So Richard's psyched. He hasn't had to do anything for it. Right? He paid $18,500 for it. You know, busted the guy down from $30,000. So the guy's own family members, his nephew and his brother, come in to buy the car back. They tell him the whole fucking story, and Richard's like, yeah, cool, man, you can buy it back. And they were like, so what were you thinking? And he goes, you know, I was thinking like 30. After busting the guy from 30 down to 18.5, he goes right back to that guy's price. So the cousin and the fucking uncle, they're like, hey, stupid, you bought the car from my brother. We know what you paid for it. It's the only time I've ever seen him get embarrassed. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, man. That's just what we do here. He's like, how about 22? And he ended up selling it for fucking, you know, 20 grand. I don't know. I probably just butchered all that. But Fast and Loud, you got to check it out. I like it because they build cars that I feel like I could afford. They don't have like that Meekums shit where everything's six figures. I mean, they build like a badass car for like 25, 30 grand after they paid like, you know, 10 grand for it and redid everything. I really like that show. So shout out to anybody who's on that show that listens to this podcast. I fucking love it. Anyways, what are we up to here? What am I talking about? What am I looking at here? I am 31 minutes in. Was there anything else I wanted to talk about? How about the Patriots? Huh? I watched that game on the flight. That was unbelievable. The last two touchdowns in that game were, you couldn't find a better example of worst defense I've ever seen in my fucking life. Patriots had double coverage, got the safety coming over the top. Our cornerback's in position to swat down the ball, and he swings at it like a fucking changeup, and it goes right by him, and the guy scores for a fucking touchdown. Brutal. And then Brady threw an interception, and we went down the field, and the fucking Saints turn around and do the exact same thing in single coverage. It was like neither team wanted to win the game. But I want to chastise all those fucking Patriots fans that left. That fucking left. Like half the stadium looked like it left. And I know a lot of people like, oh, boss, Patriots fans suck. It's like, fuck you. Your fans suck too. Half of your fans suck. That's what you have to understand about any arena you go to. The only reason why it is the size that it is it's because someday you're going to make a run at the title. And they're going to need all those extra seats. All right? But the reality is when the team starts shitting the bed, half the people leave. So those stadiums only need, like Patriot Stadium really only needs to hold 30,000 people. You know, if you had to sign an agreement that I don't give a fuck if they're 14-2 or 2-14, I'm coming to the games. You know, I don't even think it needs to be 30,000. So I love that all those fuckers left and they have to go to work tomorrow and lie and say that they were there. The Red Sox were great. Most of the people stayed. Two or three people I saw leave. Saw a couple empty seats, but everybody stayed. It was just a great fucking weekend, and I went to the Bruins game today. I was actually walking over to the Garden, and I was just going to buy a hat. And all of a sudden, I hear guys, who needs tickets? Who needs tickets? I knew they were playing the Red Wings, but I thought it was in Detroit. And I said, fuck it. I'll go to the goddamn game. So I go into the game. I'm like, not going to drink a little water, come back, do the fucking podcast, and what happens? In between the fucking first and second period, or second and third period, I run into an old drinking buddy of mine from back in the day, the high school days. Pick up right where we left off. I'll have one. You know, fucking three beers later, here we are. So my apologies for being late, and congratulations to the Red Wings. Wasn't the greatest of fucking games. Matinee games usually suck. You know, there's usually an extra sort of like mascot presence because there's so many kids there. They usually don't fight, you know, which makes sense, right? I want to ask you guys, when was the last time you got into a fist fight at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon? Doesn't happen. Fist fights happen at night. I don't know why. They just do. It feels right. All right. Is that it? Is that all I have to talk about before I get into the letters? Chiefs Seattle, Fast and Loud, Red Sox, Patriots, Bruins. Oh, the half marathon. I just make little notes here of shit to talk about. I was fucking walking through the Boston Commons, walking through the park, and they were having this half marathon, and all it was fucking ladies. And fucking women looked phenomenal. They were crushing it, right? Running down the street, zero fucking body fat, but still had booties on them. I was loving every fucking second of it, right? Objectifying them as they tried to have a nice day of exercise. So as I get closer to the finish line, there's some woman on the mic, and it's, I don't know, like, she was just being so overly positive, it was annoying the shit out of me. She was announcing every woman that crossed the finish line. I get announcing, like, the fucking top 10, 15, 20, but it took me, like, 20 minutes to walk through the park from one side to the other side up by the State House, and all I hear the whole time, and, you know, Marissa Clifford from Attleboro. It's just yelling everybody's name. Abigail Twitzelnitzel from Marblehead. Today is your day. That's what she said about one of them. Today is your day. And I want to be like, she fucking came in like 70th. It's not her day. It's not nearly her day. She needs to fucking go home and look at some game film. It's not her fucking day. Not a day by a long shot. She's a coach. She's fired in the first third of that race. Bringing in an interim runner. Today's your fucking day. It's just fucking ridiculous. You know, I get it. Guys run the world. We're a bunch of dicks. We don't give you your fucking due. So, but I got to tell you, there is a way of overcorrecting to the point where all you're doing is making everybody there soft. But I got to tell you, those women running the races, I'm telling you, they probably didn't like that either. They probably didn't like it either. You know what I mean? They're all fucking athletes. Are you an athlete if you're a runner? Or can you just put up with a lot of shit? I'll tell you what I like about my girl, man. She's got endurance. I came home and bitched about my job for 4 hours last night. She never complained. I don't know. That was just one of those moments where I was just sitting there listening to this fucking woman screaming out all these women's names. You know, Betty fucking whoever, congratulations. I don't understand it. You would think that all of them won some regional fucking running thing, and now they were showing up hyping the race they were going to run rather than that person she just mentioned came in 47th. Oh, Bill, you know what? The holidays are coming up. Why don't you put a fucking red nose on and fucking take the cunt down a little bit? All right, you might be right. Okay. So anyways, Kansas City is officially the loudest crowd. And at the end of the day, nobody... I think it's funny because I was trash in Seattle, but nobody gives a fuck. Okay? Kansas City wants what Seattle wants what the Patriots wants what everybody fucking wants. You want the Super Bowl title. That's what you want. You'll be the loudest. That's stupid. The Seattle fans are the fucking worst. The way you guys so quickly came back to that owner that fucked you over so bad on the tall boy beers that were just as big as the small ones. What a shame. And he buys you back because he fucking calls you 12th man and waves a fucking flag. You know something, Seattle? I thought you were better than that. And it hurts me to say that. I guess I was wrong. Oh God, the amount of people that are actually going to take that seriously. Okay. Follow up to Bully. All right, I guess this is one. If you can tell, I've been coming down with a little bit of a cold here. That's what happens when you drink like 12 nights in a row. You know, it's not really the alcohol. It's the being out till 4 in the morning without a hat on. Follow up to Bully. Hey there, Billy Redface. This is a follow up to the email I sent about getting picked on. Oh, this was the big dude, right? The big dude at school who could do something. He's at the dojo and all that type of shit, but didn't want to do something because he didn't want to disappoint his senseis. If I'm using the right karate lingo, if I'm not, I mean, I my apologies. Anyways, he said it went a lot better than I expected. Oh, to give you a recap, this guy was like a big guy, and there was some fucking shorter fat kid that was always coming up slapping him in the head at school. And this guy seems like he's studying at least two, if not three, different martial arts disciplines. And if he wanted to, okay, could, you know that shit that they do. I don't even know what they do. Next thing you know, you feel the heat of their foot next to your ear. And then you wake up near a computer watching the YouTube video, whatever the fuck just happened to you. He could basically do that, but he didn't because he didn't want to disappoint his martial arts teachers. All right? Jesus, Bill. All right, here we go. He said, it went a lot better than I expected. I told one of my martial arts teachers, and he basically gave me a green light to whoop this kid, but not too bad. No broken bones, except maybe the nose. Oh, I love this guy. This guy's old school. He said, I walked into the locker room, and he greeted me with, hey, faggot fuck. I replied with, I hear your birthday's coming up. What's your cup size? He got pretty mad and said, what'd you fucking say? I said, your cup size, you fat fuck. What is it? I love it. Did you see the fucking bitch in him coming out? He said he walked at me and swung a haymaker. I took it on the chin. Jesus Christ, you didn't slip. He said, I beat the shit out of this kid. Well, it's good because he took a swing first. Very nice. He goes, I kneed him in the belly twice, once to the head. I kicked him in the thigh. Oh, that's the one he's going to feel tomorrow. Oh, that one's gonna bruise. And he goes, and he went down. I finished with a few punches to the head. I got suspended for 2 days after they heard he was picking on me. I think it's safe to say he won't be picking on anyone else anymore. Have a great day. And please say, fuck Kyle. That's an inside joke with one of my friends. All right, dude, good for you. Good for you. And you know something? Good for your teacher. You know what I mean? Can't always be holding people up at third base. Every once in a while, you got to wave them around. Here comes the throw at the plate, right? Good for you. I was going to say, I wish I could watch the video of it, but you'd get in trouble for it. So, by the way, I'm drinking water. That annoying sound is ice water. I'm not still drinking on this thing. All right, here's a new topic that hasn't come up, which I wish it would come up more often. Lesbian love. Dear Dr. Burr, I have a bit of a girl dilemma here. I'm a 26-year-old dude living in Connecticut. Fuck Hartford. Okay, so you're living anywhere but Hartford. Or you're in Hartford and you hate it. He said, I met a girl. Oh, wait a minute. If this is coming from a guy, all I see is threesome on the horizon. All right. Please let this go the way I want it to go. He said, I met a girl through a friend of a friend, and we became great friends. She lives out of state, but we still keep in touch and communicate with each other whenever we can. All right, you're painting with a broad brush here. That could be you text every once in a while, or you're sexting. Or fucking, pressing your dick up against your computer while Skyping. I mean, there's a lot of room for interpretation there, sir. But I'll continue. He says, she's independent, headstrong, not materialistic, likes the same shit I do, and we are always in sync whenever we get together person to person. Basically, perfect for me. And not to sound corny, at some point, I fell in love with her. Dude, don't ever apologize for falling in love with a woman. That's just some guy shit where you can't pretend like you want to be happy too. Good for you. He said, but she's a lesbian. And then he writes, oh, Jesus. Oh, well, dude, did you know that going into it? The voice cracking. Did you know that going into it? You didn't protect your fucking heart? Well, you're doing the chick thing where you think you can change her. All right. He says, it's a bit of an emotional struggle. I would think so. He said, I've already shared my feelings and obviously they went nowhere. So now, you know what I'm thinking now when you said she likes the same shit you like? Yeah. I can see where you guys would be on the same page. Checking out the ladies. So anyways, he goes, so now I got to bottle that shit up inside. It's been like that for almost a year. Part of me still wants to be friends with her, but the other parts of me tells me to forget about her and cut all communications off. Yeah, I mean, or you'll just keep looking at her going, oh, maybe she'll blow me today. Ain't happening. He said, I'd feel like a douche fuck. You guys are really creating odd vulgarities here. A douche fuck. Okay, that's a new one. If I cut all ties, and yet I know it's going to suck for me emotional as long as I'm friends with her because I'll never be with her. Or will this feeling go away eventually? My friends keep telling me to forget about her, but I would also be losing an awesome friend too. What do you think, Bill? Should I listen to my heart or my cock? Thanks. Go fuck yourself. Truly. Let's see. I would say listen to your heart or your cock. Well, I don't know which wants to do what. Your heart loves her and you also want to fuck her. What you have to do is you need to do a combo. Like, you have to have a sit down with both your heart and your dick and just be like, look, all right, your dick has to know the score at this point. It ain't happening. Okay? Your dick probably already has its fucking helmet off. It's taking its tape off and all that shit. But your heart, you know, I don't know what your fucking heart's doing. Listen, dude, I'm sorry. I'm buzzed here. What do I think you should do? I think you should just walk away. You got to walk away and you got to be into some other chick first. And then maybe you can start to be friends again. But, it sounds like you've been a sad puppy dog with blue balls for a year. And I'd say I think you've done your penance. You know, why don't you go into the open lane? Why don't you do that? I just opened the register. Can I have the next customer, please? Go into that fucking line. All right. Oh, man, that sucks. I feel bad for you, dude. What are you going to do? You know, I saw the other day on the cover of ESPN Magazine, they had one of those UFC chicks, like, totally naked, but with her goddamn hands wrapped. And I got to tell you something, man. I think those women are hot. They are fucking hot, and I think it would make you a better person if you could date, if you went out with a woman that could beat the shit out of you. Just because it would force you to be smarter. The only reason why women are smarter than us is because, basically speaking, we can fucking stuff them in a hamper if we want to. So they have to outsmart us. So from day one, they're using their fucking brains. Well, we're just sitting there going, shut up, you know, using force. There's nothing. We're all fucking knees and elbows. So what would happen is you would gain the wisdom of a female by kind of being the bitch in the relationship in that, you know, she could fucking slap you around. Then you could learn to use tricks like guilt. You know, who knows? Maybe she'd go out and get you a pair of shoes. Right? I'm sorry, so sorry that I put you in a Kimura. I've been meaning to watch that UFC show where they have the women in the house. It's hard to watch women beating the shit out of each other. There's like no way that they can hit each other that it's fucking pleasant to see. Punching them in their pretty faces, or even worse, when they take that fucking straight right to the left tit. It's just like, what are you doing? You know, I might be misogynistic here, but I just look, that's like for a baby. Why are they punching you in one of your fucking baby compartments? I really am a moron. I admit it. You know, whatever. That's just how I look at it. I'll tell you what, at least I'm honest. At least I'm honest. That's when you know you said some ignorant shit and half the party's walking away from you. Hey, you know, I say what's on my mind. I say what's on. Well, maybe sometimes you shouldn't. All right, here we go. I work in hell with no escape. Hey, Billy Redbeard, the pirate. I am a police officer in a town in New Jersey where I am an 11-year veteran. All right, hang in there, dude. You're over the hump. What do you need, 20 years? I said keep it moving. You got to do that for another 9 years. The department I work for abuses those of us who have too much self-respect to kiss ass. All right. Now, I'm not trying to be a dick, sir, but you've already painted yourself as the hero here. All right. But I'm going to believe you. Okay? I'm going to believe that you actually do a good job. And the reason why they don't like you is not because you're fucking being a cunt. It's because you don't kiss any ass. All right. I'm going to go with that. He said it's gotten so bad that they suspend and even try to fire guys who don't bow down and kiss the ring. It's the very definition of a hostile work environment, and I'm terribly stressed out about the situation. Now, you may be asking yourself, is it so bad? Why don't you move on to another police department? Thank you, sir, for giving me the credit for being that intelligent to have that thought. Unfortunately, I didn't. I was immediately thinking that you should get together with some of your friends and become the Serpicos out there. You know, and maybe deep pants your fucking CPO, whatever the fuck his name is. You know, start hazing him. Have a little mutiny. Anyways, he says, well, I've tried. But the great fucked up state of New Jersey has a rule that says if I transfer to another police department, both of the department I work for and the department I want to go to have to approve and sign off on the transfer. I was this close to getting hired by another department and was denied the transfer by my current police chief, or as I call him, Satan. Apparently they can do that. I hate stress, but I have bad dreams about the place and it affects my mood when I think about it, even when I'm off. My question to you is, if I am stuck in the worst work environment imaginable, how do I shake off the bullshit and not worry? Thanks for all the laughs, and I underestimated your ticket-selling ability in New Jersey. I was a little late trying to get tickets to Red Bank. Oh, you know, that's not that big a place, sir, but I appreciate the compliment. All right. Well, here's the deal. You can't ever let some other cunt affect your happiness. 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 All right? It's all going to come down to how you choose to react to what it is he's doing. That's the first step. All right? I mean, I know this is a completely different scenario, but I remember I used to live above this fucking angry old man. And he used to always yell at me every fucking thing I did. My old apartment, you know, and I'd drop his cell phone. He'd, keep it up. Do it again. All that shit. And he yelled at Nia and all that shit. So I just started hitting him with positivity. You know, me and Nia just started acting like he was attractive. I just walked by. I'd be like, hey, what do you say there? Good looking. She'd whistle at him like he was sexy. And it kind of brought him around in some weird way. Now, I don't know if you can do that. Can you do that? Can you fuck with your superior officer like that when he comes in and he's a cunt to you and just be, hey, Sarge, have you been losing weight? You're really filling out that uniform quite nicely. Just keep doing that uncomfortable shit to him. And then, I don't know, if he's truly as bad as you say, you can't tell me some of the other guys you work with don't feel the same fucking thing. I know you have the code of silence, the blue code, whatever the fuck it is, you know, but if somebody's being that much of a dick at some point, I'm not saying to rat the guy out, but maybe, you know, can you organize something? Or is everybody too nervous that they won't get another stripe on their fucking costume? Is that what it is? I don't fucking know. Sir, you know what it is? I can just tell you, I feel for you. I don't know what to tell you. You're talking about cops here. He's got a goddamn gun. I would just start sending them flowers and chocolates. in like this positive way, just annoy the shit out of them. You know, I'd leave him little love letters on his car. You don't need to sign it. I would just start fucking with him. Just to give yourself something that as he's being a cunt to you, you know that he's going to go out there and read, you know, his secret male admirer love letter. Just something. Something to fuck with the guy. What else could you do? Ah, there's the usual shit. Laxatives. I would do, I don't know what I would do. I would sing like the Mary Tyler Moore song to him every time he was a dick to me. Who can turn the world on with his smile? Well, it's you, Sergeant. You should know it. With each little cunty fucking move, you show it. Why are you such a dick? It's just fucking... This is a great thing about humor. If it's funny, it's fine. You just got to make sure you get a laugh. And other than that, I would... you know, dude, you got another 9 years. You can't let somebody take a decade from you here. So I would do whatever it is I had to do. You know, grab some beers with some of the other guys. You probably can't trust them. There's always some kiss ass that's going to fucking rat you out. I don't want to ruin your career here. Jesus, dude, I don't know what to tell you. I would just, I mean, other than the fucking singing songs to him. Yeah, he comes in and he's telling you some shit you don't want to do. Just look right at him dead serious and be like, God, you got beautiful eyes. Just something like that. Just keep fucking with them, because that's a way where you can still carry out whatever cunty order he told you to do. but you still hold on to a piece of yourself. That's the best I have for you. Other than that, I would explore some sort of organized way, okay, to fucking tip this guy over in his squad car. I hope I helped you out, sir, because that I got miserable reading that. All right. Okay, where the fuck are we? 55 minutes in. Have I done it? I think it's time for some more advertising here, everybody. Here we go. E-voice. E-voice. If you're an entrepreneur and a customer calls, do you want him to see? Do you want to seem like you're in a high-rise, window-view, fancy-pants office? Or do you want them to know you're just sitting there in your underwear, drinking a high C? Huh? It's a no-brainer. With eVoice, you can create the appearance of an entire building. Sales, customer support, tech support, you name it. Everybody will think you got it. Give your customers the royal treatment with eVoice. eVoice will forward your business calls to your home, mobile, or any number you choose wherever you are. eVoice will find you. Don't have time to take a call? No biggie. It's routed to your voicemail, and you can read it at your convenience as an email. eVoice not only gives you an edge over your competitors, it takes away the edge the big companies have over you right now. It's immediately a level playing field. Thank God for eVoice. You can try it right now for free for 30 days. Go to eVoice.com or just go to the podcast page at BillBurr.com and click on the eVoice banner. And last but certainly not least, hitting cleanup. LegalZoom, everybody. A lot of pride comes along with starting your dream business, but think about the stress you'll feel if you don't take the right steps to legally protect your business and personal assets from the beginning. That's why I, yours truly, recommend LegalZoom.com. During the past 12 years, over a million business owners have trusted LegalZoom to help start their businesses. LegalZoom will save you a lot of time and a pile of money on startup costs, plus they'll provide solutions to help you run a successful business. LegalZoom can help provide self-help services at your specific direction or connect you with an attorney, but they are not, repeat, not a law firm. Just go to LegalZoom.com today and see what's right for you. Form an LLC, get a DBA, incorporate, or form a nonprofit, all starting at just $99. Plus, you'll save even more when you enter my last name, Burr, B-U-R-R, in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com, promo code Burr. One more time, LegalZoom.com, promo code Burr. Oh, I lied. There's one more. Hang in there. Hang in there. All right. So you know how to start your business. You know how to watch TV. You know how to shave. You know how to protect your business. What's the last thing you need to know how to do? You need to know how to go to the post office in 2013. Stamps.com, everyone. There are over 8 million small businesses out there. Many of them are wasting time going to the post office for their mailing and shipping. What they don't know, there's a much better way. What is it? Stamps.com. Stamps.com brings all the services of the post office right to your fingertips. Use your own computer and printer to get official U.S. postage for any legal, for any letter or package. Stamps.com will send you a digital scale, automatically calculates the exact postage for any class of mail. It's so easy to use and convenient, even a moron like me has been able to do it. You'll never waste time again going to the post office. You won't even need to lease one of those expensive postage meters. I use Stamps.com to send out all my DVDs, my T-shirts, whatever crap you see me whoring myself out with at the end of my shows. Stamps.com got it there. Never had a problem. Right now, use my last name, Burr, B-U-R-R, for this special offer, no-risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer that includes the digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Burr, B-U-R-R. That's Stamps.com. Enter Burr. All right. That'll be enough of that. Closing that window. And we're back to the podcast with the next, another provocative one. Crazy blowjob. Roll out those lazy, crazy, hazy fucking blowjobs. Ba-be-da-ba-da-da-be-da-da-boo-ba-da-ba-da-beep. Hey, Bill. Last night, I got laid while Breaking Bad was playing in the background from my computer. Okay. Well, thank Vince Gilligan. That ain't me. Now, I had a little trouble keeping the guy up during the act, even though she had the ass I would kill for to see again. So while she was giving me head, which was awesome, by the way, I look up and what do I see on the TV? Billy the freckled-faced cunt shows up in a truck. This is a true story, by the way. I remember that. That's when we shot that one in Santa Fe. We shot that one in Santa Fe when we robbed the train. I'm not going to say anything else because everybody... I just started the series. I must say, I couldn't decide between keep watching the scene because I hadn't seen you acting before or enjoying the blowjob. Well, dude, have you ever heard of hitting pause? This guy's like, fuck it, easy. He loves it. I thought I loved Breaking Bad. This guy loves it. He says, the whole situation was really awkward because I was imagining you saying stuff like, dude, why are you watching TV while getting a blowjob? What are you, a fig? He goes, I actually started laughing, not thinking about how uncomfortable that would make her, the poor girl. Oh, no. I was struggling to keep it up while hearing you in my head going, this guy's a fig. That's my joke, making fun of people who are homophobic, by the way. Just to clarify it before I have to apologize to an overweight blogger on television. The remote control was not in my reach, so I had to watch the camera alternating between two redheaded cunts, Heisenberg and old Billy Redface. Heisenberg's not a redhead. He had a shaved head. You talking about Jesse Plemons? I don't fucking know. He said, anyways, thanks for ruining a great blowjob, you cunt. I'll see you in Sweden in December. Hey, my apologies, sir, but you guys, you know, I know that you're way over there in Sweden, but I would think that you guys have remote. I know you have remote controls and you have pause buttons. I've been there. You know? That's really weird, sir. That made me uncomfortable with myself. Getting a blowjob in Sweden. Jesus Christ. It was probably some chick that'd be a fucking 11 over here. And to you guys, it's just another chick from fucking Stockholm, right? I always mention that whenever I go over there. When you're in Stockholm, the city of Stockholm, it's fucking ridiculous. Not saying there aren't some regular looking people, but just the percentage of really good looking people is, I felt like a mongoloid when I was over there. Like I really need to, like I should have had like a hump limping down the fucking street. So anyways, dude, shake it off. And, I hope that girl didn't hear you laughing while she was blowing you, because that could really affect her confidence. So make sure she knows why you were laughing. All right? And just say, hey, we're not going to watch TV this time. And then she'll go to blow you again. And then just the sheer quietness in the room is going to make you start thinking about my dumb face again. You're going to laugh again. You have an issue, sir. All right. The Upper Decker. Dear St. Bill, I'll get to the point ASAP. My boss booked me a hotel without a fridge. When I got to the hotel, they told me their computers showed that the fridgeless rooms had not been cleaned. I asked, could you just bump me up to one with the fridge then? They responded with a polite no. They then sent a guy to check if any of those rooms were clean, the fridgeless rooms. They told me one of them was, which I figure means it had been cleaned. I took the room. I had four strong beers. Dogfish Head 90-minute IPA. I don't know what that means. I know IPAs have more alcohol, but I don't know what 90-minute means. He said, then I went to take a shower. I noticed that there was no soap, which means no one fixed the room. That dude who checked must have just made the bed. To top it off, the toilet is not working. Shit would not flush. So I took an Upper Decker inside the top part of the toilet. My question is, am I an asshole? P.S. This happened 20 minutes ago. Still drunk. Love your work. Are you an asshole? Absolutely. Absolutely, you're an asshole. Because the person who manages that hotel is not the person who has to clean out the toilet. And all you're going to do is just fuck over the person who's got to clean it up. Yeah, you should have done that shit. Come on, man. Come on. You know, the mature thing to do is you pick up the phone and you say, yeah, I was said that this room was ready and it's not ready. There's no soap in here. This hasn't, basically the bed has been made. The toilet's not working. That's what you do. You know, you don't take a shit in the top part of the fucking toilet. All right? Shame on you. I'm disappointed in you. You know better than that. I'll give you a little bit of a slap. Dude, four beers in, you already did that. Thank God you didn't have eight. You know, you probably would have shit in the hall. Wrap up. Okay, that's it, people. That's the podcast here. Okay, that's the end. See, I did all right. I got myself a nice hour and 5 minutes here. That's a decent-sized podcast. Oh, it was an adorable little podcast. Listen, now that the show's over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast. Get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to the podcast page at BillBurr.com and click the Hulu Plus banner. Or go to HuluPlus.com/Bill. That's HuluPlus.com/Bill. Real quick, my next big gigs coming up is, November 7th, 8th, and 9th. Three of the biggest gigs I've had up until this day. I'm going to be at Constitution Hall in Washington, D.C. I'm going to be in the Beacon Theater in New York City, and then I'm going to be in Upper Darby, Pennsylvania. Those dates are November 7th. 8th and 9th, and as always, I'm going to have the lovely Paul Verzi opening for me. That's a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Most of those, the first show is sold out. I think there's just one show in D.C., but there's two in New York and two in Philly. So the first shows, I believe, are both sold out, and the second one is going fast. So once again, thank you to everybody who has bought up the tickets, and I'm coming with the best hour that I've written. That's what I like to think. And the weekend after that, I'll be in Deadwood, South Dakota, the Billy Red State makeup dates, the last three. Deadwood, South Dakota on the 15th, Tulsa, Oklahoma at Brady Theater, Tom Brady, November 16th, and the Orpheum Theater, Wichita, Kansas, November 17th. Oh, really quickly, by the way, the Broncos won again. I got to tell you, though, I'm seeing a flaw in that team. As great as they look, Bronco fans, I want to hear from you. I'm not being a dick. But they're looking like that classic regular season team that scores a zillion points but lets up half a zillion. And I found that those teams tend to lose in the playoffs. The San Diego, the Air Coryell Chargers, the Dan Marino Dolphins, the fucking greatest show on turf, Rams, the year we beat them, the year the Giants beat the fucking undefeated Patriots. That shit catches up with you, because when you go to the playoffs, you're going to be playing teams with great defense. And when they slice your offense in half, but your defense can't step it up, all of a sudden you got a close game. And next thing you know, you lose 20-17. You're like, what the fuck happened? We scored 9 million points this season. All right. Been there as a fan. What do you think? We're taking phone calls right now. That's it. That's the podcast for this week. Go fuck yourselves. I'll talk to you next week.